chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. We're going to be reading. You can follow along on the YouVersion Bible app. Just search Redemption Life Church in the events tab on your Droid or iPhone. And you can follow right along with the scripture. It'll be right up here. It said, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. We're going to talk about ordinary me, extraordinary God. And part one, we're going to be talking about ordinary idiots. Everybody say ordinary idiots. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence here this morning. And Father, I just ask you right now, God, just to speak to our hearts, Lord, as we look at your word together. Lord, I pray that we would go beyond just hearing some points and hearing some ideas, God. I pray that we would not just hear some teaching today, but Lord, I pray in this moment that we have together, God, that it would be a holy moment as we encounter you, your presence, God, your voice, and your will for our lives, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Everyone, put your hand on your belly, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. How many have ever seen a bumper sticker or maybe a slogan on a t-shirt, some idea? It's a pretty common theme, I think, especially in a lot of motivational settings, a lot of fitness people on Instagram or Facebook will kind of have this attitude, and it's kind of a mantra. Any kind of idea of like never settle. Anybody heard anything like never settle? Never settle for anything less than the best. Anybody ever heard of an attitude like that? Or an attitude like, I'd rather be dead than be average, or any kind of thing. Anybody ever heard of those kind of things? And I'll be honest, I've probably prescribed to some of that mentality in different areas of my life. But as I get a little older and hopefully a little wiser, hopefully a little closer to Jesus, hopefully becoming a little bit like Jesus, I'm beginning to realize that mentality, though it may have some purposes and may serve you in some situations, it can actually be, I believe, detrimental, especially if we try to pull that attitude into our Christian life. That can be absolutely detrimental to our walk with God if I have this attitude that I somehow need to be a great, above average, superior, or extraordinary person in order to find any success, fulfillment, or purpose in life. Amen, somebody? Because here's the deal. Listen, here's the fallacy. Even though it sounds really good from a motivational speaker, right? It sounds really good. Never settle. Never be average. Never da-da-da. Even though that can get you kind of hyped up and thinking, yeah, I'm ready to charge through a wall. Here's the problem, guys. Listen, let's just think about this together for a moment. Guys, there will always be an average. Okay? It doesn't matter. Average is not a bad word, okay? Average simply means the median of all the sums added together. The middle ground is the average. So when you take the best of the best and the worst of the worst, the average is somewhere in between. And listen, if you elevate the average, guess what? There will still be people who exceed the average, which will raise the bar. There will always be an average. And the reason, listen, here's something that I'm beginning to settle with. Here's the deal. Most people will fall into the average. Most of us in this room are living somewhere in the average. And if I am driven by this need to be more than average or be extraordinary or never settle or whatever else, whatever my spin on that is, guess what? I will find myself always unfulfilled. So I'll just be honest. This year I'll turn 39. I'll be a year away from 40. As I'm getting into that, my wife will turn 40 this year. You're welcome for mentioning that. She doesn't care. I can't believe that I'm going to be married to a 40-year-old woman at this point. You know what I mean? Like, God bless America. Help me, Lord. How did it come to this? No, anyway, so here's the thing. I have decided to let myself settle on a few things. Amen? I've decided that it's time for Justin to settle a few things. It's going to be okay. My life will move on. Listen, I'm settling on the fact I will never dunk a basketball. You understand? I'm going to settle for that. That's okay. Never settle. You know, if I had the attitude, what happens is it creates these preposterous and unrealistic expectations. And when those expectations are unmet, we somehow think we've missed God, missed the mark, and that God isn't moving in our life because we have this better than average mentality. Friends, there will always be average. Most of us are going to find ourselves somewhere in it. Amen, somebody. So let me just free you in the name of Jesus. Allow yourself to settle on some things. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself in. That's what the Bible says. Amen. So I'm going to settle. I'm never going to dunk a basketball. It's not going to happen. I'm 5'7" and a half on a real good day. You understand? I am not going to dunk a basketball. I'm never going to play in a Super Bowl. I'm going to watch guys play in a Super Bowl. I'm never going to be one of those guys. It's just not going to happen. I better settle on it. Come on, somebody. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody, okay? Okay? I've been pursuing powerlifting for the last several years of my life. I love it. I love lifting weights. It's part of what I do. You guys hear me talk about it all the time. I'm sorry. I can only talk about what I know, and all I know is Jesus weights and wings. That's it. And my wife, I know her, and that's what I can talk about, and so that's all I can tell you about, okay? But listen, I've also had to settle on some ideas that as I close in on 40, the gains that I'm going to make in the latter part of my life, I'm going to have to settle that there are probably some goals or ideas that I had that I'm not going to hit. There's some squats that I'm not going to make, probably, unless I get some performance enhancers, which I'm not opposed to. If anybody has a hookup, let me know. Listen, we call it, anyway, I'm going to settle on some of those things, and guess what? It'll be okay. It doesn't mean I'm missing God. It doesn't mean I'm settling for a less than godly life or anything else. In fact, let me just say this way. As a believer, listen, as a believer, my life isn't based on how great I am, but how great Jesus is. In fact, let me say it this way. Christianity isn't about me being extraordinary. Christianity is about God being extraordinary. Amen, somebody? And if we have this, carry that idea of never settle, better than average, better dead than average, I've got to be an extraordinary whatever, guess what? We might miss the fact that while we're trying to be extraordinary, we are actually standing in the way of God being extraordinary. Amen, somebody? And these men in Acts chapter 4, what is happening here is in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, just a few weeks after Pentecost, this is just a few weeks after Jesus and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2, these events are all very fresh. This is the very beginning and the very start of what we know today as the church. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John show up to the temple. There's a lame guy there who the Bible says has never walked. Because he's lame, he's not even allowed into church to worship. Peter and John walk past him. He's sitting there begging, hoping to get a couple of coins so he can get something to eat. The Bible says Peter walks by with John. He says, hey, bro, silver and gold, I don't have any of that. But what I do have, I will give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And Peter grabbed him by the hand, pulled him up. The Bible says the healing took place. Strength entered into his legs. And the man started dancing and shouting and running around the church. And it caused this big commotion because they all knew this guy. Everybody in the church walked past this dude every single Sunday. And they said, this dude's, all of a sudden, he's shouting, praising God, saying, this man, Jesus, has healed me. This created a stir. A crowd began to get around Peter and John. Peter preaches the gospel in Acts chapter 3 and says, hey, I didn't heal this guy. Jesus healed this guy. This is what has happened. This caused the leaders of the temple to become very concerned. These are, understand, this is the same council, the same what's known as the Sanhedrin. These are the same people that just a few weeks earlier crucified Jesus. It's these same guys, okay? So these same guys meet. They say, hey, 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 this thing's getting out of control. They call Peter and John in, and they're yelling at them. They're telling them, hey, you need to shut up. You can't keep teaching about Jesus. You got to stop talking about Jesus. We don't want to hear about Jesus. You got to stop this. And the Bible says Peter begins to argue with them, not really arguing with them, but he then preaches the gospel to them and says, hey, guys, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to shut my mouth about Jesus. And so they're having this, what you see in Acts 4:13 is this conversation and this idea that these religious scholars, leaders, elders, people who are schooled and learned in all of the Old Testament law, in all of the Mosaic law, and all of the Hebrew, and all that stuff, they have a very functional and educated understanding of God. and they're looking at these guys. However, for all of their education, for all of their understanding, for all of their learning, for all of their ability to explain and discuss and teach, they still didn't have what it took to get that lame man from laying on his feet outside the temple into the place where he could worship and know God. And so the Bible says here that they were looking at Peter and John, and what they noticed about them, it says they were amazed, in fact, amazed. That's another way to say they recognized something extraordinary was happening through these ordinary, unlearned men. That word unlearned is a Greek word, idiotes, which is where we get our English word idiots, which is why we're calling this talk ordinary idiots. That's what they kind of said. These ordinary idiots are able to do something extraordinary that we have not been able to do, and yet we know all the ins and outs of everything about it. And they're amazed at that. And we see here this formula that we're going to look at today for how to see God's extraordinary in our ordinary. Here it is. Here's the equation. Let me take you back to math class real quick. All right, here's the equation. Here it is. Extraordinary equals this. Extraordinary equals ordinary idiots times Jesus plus boldness. Take an ordinary idiot, multiply him by Jesus, add a little bit of boldness, and what you're going to come out with is an extraordinary moment in God. Let's break that down real quick. First thing we got to have, first part of this equation, ordinary idiots. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm an ordinary idiot. Turn to somebody else and say, I'm an ordinary idiot. Go ahead, let yourself say it. It'll feel good. It'll bring freedom and catharsis. It'll be a little cathartic moment for you. It's okay. I'm telling you, I am an ordinary idiot. I'm an average dude. I'm not an extraordinary person. And chances are none of us in here are. Come on, somebody. We're all ordinary idiots. Here's what you have to understand. Listen. God, get this. God, help me to get this. My ordinary doesn't limit God's extraordinary. God does not need you and me to be extraordinary people in order for him to be extraordinary in our lives. And I think a lot of the time that we don't see, don't recognize, and miss God's extraordinary in our lives is because what I'm really wanting to do is I'm really trying to make myself extraordinary. I'm really trying to make myself above average. I'm really trying to, and I have this idea that for God to do anything extraordinary in me, I've got to somehow be this great, above average, excellent, excelling, superior, extraordinary person. But that is not what we see in Scripture. What we see here is ordinary idiots who God is doing an extraordinary thing to. So if you're sitting there today and you're thinking, man, I am so plain, I am so simple, I'm so average, I'm so ordinary, there's nothing special about my life, there's nothing extraordinary about my life, I don't know if God can really do something. Listen to me. Take an example from these fishermen, Peter and John, who were ordinary idiots, and understand that just because you're ordinary doesn't make God ordinary in you. Your ordinary doesn't limit God's extraordinary. Amen. Amen, somebody. If God's extraordinary was limited by my ability to be extraordinary, he would no longer be God. What makes him God is that he is all that he is, all by himself, in spite of, apart from, and without any help from any of us whatsoever. Amen. And I wonder on the flip side of that, I wonder if the more I'm trying, striving, stretching, pushing, working to be extraordinary, I wonder if that doesn't actually limit God's extraordinary in my life. Because the more I'm trying to be extra special, the more I'm trying to be extraordinary, what am I doing? I'm getting in the way of what God actually wants to do. Amen, somebody? Paul later on says, he says, we have this treasure in Corinthians. He says, we have this treasure, we have this gift in earthen vessels, or in some translation, in jars of clay. What Paul was saying is, we have this extraordinary anointing of the Holy Spirit, and yet we are not extraordinary at all. We are just normal, everyday people. Peter and John, everyday, ordinary guys, blue-collar guys. Amen, somebody? And yet God did something extraordinary in them. So the first part, if I'm going to see God be an extraordinary God, which, again, let's go back. As a believer, it's not about me being extraordinary. It's about God being extraordinary. Amen? So that means I've got to allow myself to be an ordinary idiot. That's step one, part one of the equation. Part two, here's the thing. It said they recognized that even though these were ordinary idiots, unlearned, unschooled men, they recognized that they had been with Jesus, okay? So it's not enough just to go, okay, I'm ordinary, I'm average, cool, I'm ready to roll. No, hold up. Okay, we got that part settled, but now I've got to take my ordinary and I've got to let it be multiplied by the presence of Jesus. Amen? They said we recognize these guys had been with Jesus. Don't stop at just saying, I'm ordinary, I'm good. We've got to be ordinary. These ordinary idiots, we've got to be with Jesus. We've got to spend time with Jesus. We've got to know Jesus. How do we do that? We do that through what we've been doing right here on Sunday morning. We come together on Sunday morning. This is a chance for you to know Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Listen. Well, I don't have to go to church to know Jesus. No, you don't. But boy, it sure helps. I tell you that right now. And I'll be honest with you, man. I've been in this game a long time, in church work a long time. I don't know very many people who walk extraordinarily close with God and walk away from the church at the same time. Amen, somebody. Okay. So, man, this is part of it. Is there more stuff beyond church? Absolutely. You pray, spend time with God, have that moment of God. I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day or 50 minutes a day or 5 hours a day. Man, spend time with God. How do you do that? Pray. Hey, why don't you do this? On your way to work, turn off the talk radio, turn off the secular radio. For God's sakes, turn off the political radio and put some worship music on. Amen, somebody? Say, man, I got a 20-minute drive. I got a 40-minute drive. I got a 5-minute drive. I don't care. Redeem that time. Say, God, I'm going to sanctify this car. It's going to be my sanctuary. I want to spend time with you. Amen? Get into your word. Get into the Bible. Read the word of God. This book is how God speaks to us. Okay? Amen? If you need direction in your life, if you're looking for some answers, if you're looking for what step is next, guess what? You'll probably find it right here. Amen? Now let me just help you how this works, okay? You are probably, maybe once in a while, there's probably, for every time I say this doesn't happen, there's like 1.5 person that says it happens. I'm sure it will. You know, but you're probably not like, God, give me a word, what's the answer? You're probably not going to just randomly open the book and something jump. That may happen once in a while. Sure, that can happen. But that's not usually how it does it. Here's how it's going to happen. When you have a regular time with God through his word, guess what? That's how he speaks to you, feeds and nourishes your soul. Okay? Now, let me explain to you how this works, okay? Because here's what's going to happen. Some of you might say, okay, I'm Pastor Justin, that's it. It's, you know, man, I've already missed a month of this year, but I wanted to get closer to God this year, so I'm going to start getting in the Bible. And so you're going to go home tomorrow, you're going to open up the Bible, or you're going to open up your Bible app, okay? Amen? If you need to read it, I don't care if you read it. Man, I don't care if you read it and it's written on a bathroom wall somewhere. Just read the Bible wherever it's from, phone, paper, internet, computer. It doesn't matter, amen? Just get the word of God in you, okay? Okay, so whether you're pulling it up on your phone, there's a ton of great apps, all right? I tell you about the YouVersion app. Listen, let me just take a second here. If you go to any app store, Google or iPhone, you search Bible, it's probably going to be the very first thing that comes up. It's just going to say Bible. Okay, that's the YouVersion Bible app. It's the most popular Bible app in the world. Man, it's free. You sign up, it's free. You can have every translation you could ever imagine. You can have all kinds of access to plans. You can actually set it up. They will send you a reminder every single day to open up a plan and read the Word of God. Friend, there's no excuse. Amen? Now, here's how this works. All right, here's how the Word of God works. Let me explain this to you because I want you to be discouraged. There are times I'll read the Bible and get nothing out of it. So I think. Okay? So if you find yourself reading the Bible and you're like, well, I don't know. You read your chapter, you read a couple chapters, you're like, I don't know what I read, I don't remember any of that. Listen, that's just part of this existence that we have as humans. Amen? There are sometimes I read the Word of God and it's like something jumps off the page and I see something I've never seen before. That's amazing. Okay? There are lots of times where nothing like that happens at all. Okay? Here's how the Word of God works, though. Look, if I take a strainer, If I had a strainer and I poured spaghetti sauce through that strainer into a sink, ideally, if the strainer is working properly and the spaghetti sauce isn't like super chunky or something, right, that red sauce is going to go through that strainer, right? And it should go through the strainer, and the strainer won't hold it, but it will go into the sink, right? Yes? That's how, okay. Sure, we all know how a strainer works. Maybe you fancy people call it a colander. I don't know. So as I'm pouring it through the strainer is not catching any of the liquid. But what color is the strainer going to turn? Red, right? If it's a red sauce, we'll say it's a red sauce. Right? The Word of God is the same way. Sometimes I'll pour it through. In fact, the New Testament, Peter, in his epistle, I think in 1 Peter, he says, renew your minds by the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? So water, the Word of God is like water running through my mind. And there may be times where I feel like I'm not catching anything at all, but you know what's happening? All that truth, all that God, all that teaching, all that, it's all washing my mind. And at the time that I need it, it's going to be in there. But I've got to put it in there first. Amen, somebody? So that's how I spend time with Jesus. Worship, the Word, prayer, coming to church. But here's the thing. Listen. It said they recognized by the way they talked, by the way they walked, and by the stuff they did, they could tell that these men had been with Jesus. Friends, it ought to be obvious that we are people that are following Jesus by the lives that we live. Amen, somebody? It ought to be obvious that I'm spending time with God by the words that are coming out of my mouth and by the love that I have in my heart, by the actions that I'm producing, by the fruit it's producing. Amen? Amen? Listen, my wife can tell when it's been nothing but Wu-Tang Clan all day long in the gym all week long by the way I'm talking. Okay? I'm serious. We'll be in the house. She might say something and be like, yo, what's up, girl? Wu-Tang ain't nothing to mess with. I thought I told you. Because I've been feeding my mind that, all right? She'd be like, what you been listening to this week? Okay? Or she might say something and be like, hey, yo, forget about it, all right? Here's what we're going to do. She's like, what, you been watching The Godfather and Goodfellas all week this week? Because what I feed on, it comes out. Amen, somebody? And it should be this in a walk with God. If we're feeding ourselves the Word of God and we're feeding ourselves, we've been in with Jesus, we've been in His presence, that should come out somewhere. Amen, somebody? Now, there's no set time with this. Man, we're all at different places. We're all at different phases in our life. We're all at different stages on our journey. There for some of us, there may be a whole lot of stuff that the gospel and the word needs to work through and work out before it ever shows up. It may take weeks, months, even years for it to show up, but it's going to show up somewhere. Don't give up. Don't stop. Amen. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen, I'm almost done. Listen to me. Don't miss this, though. Listen. Your ordinary doesn't limit God's extraordinary. And listen to me now. I don't have to be an extraordinary person to know an extraordinary God. You do not need to be some crazy Superman, Superwoman, extraordinary person full of faith and power, doing miracles, walking on water, and turning loaves into fishes every day to be someone who knows God. You can be an ordinary, average, ordinary idiot just like these guys are and know an extraordinary God who loves you and has amazing things for your life if I let him. Amen? So, ordinary idiots times Jesus, but there's one more part. Okay, and this is probably what's going to make or break it if we're going to really see an extraordinary God show up in our lives. Okay? Because I know lots of believers who love Jesus, know Jesus. I can hang out with them and know that you know Jesus and love Jesus. And yet, maybe we've never seen anything extraordinary happen in our lives. Here's what else we need. We need to have a little bit of boldness. But if we're going to step out and see God do something extraordinary in our lives once in a while, we're going to have some moments where we step out once in a while and have a little bit of boldness. Ordinary idiots times Jesus plus boldness, okay? Plus boldness. What do you mean? These guys, man, were listen, again, I said this before, but think about this. They were called before the same dudes that just weeks before crucified and killed their leader, Jesus. This is the same courtroom they're in. This is probably the same room they're in when it was decided Jesus will be crucified. This is the same council of religious leaders and teachers of the Jewish faith that had done this. And yet, when they are told by these people, hey, you better shut your mouth, you better quit talking about Jesus, what'd they do? Peter said, hey, let me tell you something. You can tell us to quit talking about this all day long, but this Jesus that you crucified, he's now resurrected. He's the one we're serving. He's the one we're pleasing. That's boldness, friend. Amen? It took boldness for Peter and John to walk by the lame man, and it took a little bit of boldness for him to say, in fact, it took a lot of boldness for him to say, I don't have any silver and gold, bro, but what I do have, you can have. Rise up in the name of Jesus and walk. That took boldness. Amen? But here's the thing. For God to show up in an extraordinary way will take an act of boldness once in a while. Listen, God has to have a vessel. He doesn't have to, but this is the way he's chosen to. Let me say it that way. God doesn't have to have anything, but this is the way he's chosen to do it. He has chosen to work through vessels of clay, jars of clay, ordinary earthen vessels. So for God's power to show up, I've got to put something on the line for him to anoint. Amen, somebody? And what that's going to be is usually an act of boldness, a step of faith. Amen, somebody? So I've got to have a little bit of boldness. Boldness may be the extraordinary key. I've got to have the boldness to talk the talk and walk the walk. Amen? You want to see somebody healed? Pray for them. You want to see somebody come to Jesus? Invite them to church. Tell them about your story. Befriend them. Look for an opportunity. Talk to them. Amen? You're not going to be sitting. Listen, we are not going to see God do extraordinary things if we're just huddled up in here week after week after week and never doing anything outside these four walls, and we just go about our lives, or we're sitting at our lunch tables, or we're sitting in our workplace, or we're just sitting in our cubicles, and we're expecting God to bring all this stuff to us. Friend, that ain't going to work that way. We got to look for those opportunities. When we see an open door, we got to have the boldness to walk through it. Amen? Now, where'd this boldness come from? Here's the thing. You say, well, that's where you're losing me. That's where you're losing me, Pastor. Sure, I believe God can anoint an ordinary idiot like me. And man, I love spending time with Jesus. I love worshiping. I love his presence. I'm just not that guy. I'm just not that girl. I'm just not that person, man. That just ain't me. I can't do that. Listen, friend, stop worrying about how extraordinary you aren't, and start resting in how extraordinary God is. Well, I can't pray for someone. Guess what? Nobody needs your prayers anyway. They just need a vessel for God to work through. Okay? Come on, somebody. I can't invite some. Listen, there's not. You're not the Savior. You're not the one that's supposed to do it. But you are the one that God wants to work through to do it. Amen. So I don't have to be extraordinary. I don't have to be some extraordinary person in order to do it. I just have to rest in how extraordinary and amazing my God is. And if I can do that, I can start to walk out in boldness once in a while. Amen. And where did this boldness come from? The Bible says here, right here in Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read this in verse 8, a few verses before. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned? And he goes in and he gives them the whole deal and he challenges them. But that one verse there, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That suggests to me that in that moment, the Holy Spirit rushed in and filled Peter's heart with something to say. Didn't Jesus, if you remember, Jesus told him earlier, he said, when you're drugged before, because Jesus told him this is going to happen. He said, you're going to be drugged before the rulers. You're going to be drugged before the council. So you're going to be challenged. You're going to be brought to give an account. He told him, in that moment, don't worry about what to say. That's what Jesus said to the gospel. Jesus said, don't worry about what to say. He said, in that moment, I'll give you the words to say. And this happened right here in verse 8. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, I thought he got filled with the Holy Spirit back in Acts 2. He did. Acts 2, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Right here, he got filled up again to do this job. Just a few verses later, when they get released, the Bible says they were beaten, whipped, and then released and said, don't talk about Jesus no more. And the Bible says they go back to the believer's house and they pray. The Bible says a few verses later, all the believers gathered together and prayed, and they were filled again. Amen? So I want you to listen to me now. A couple things here that I want to end our time on today. Some of you, the next step in your walk with God might be the infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like in Acts 2, just like here in Acts 4. That's what God wants to do in your life. And listen, you might think, well, I thought that was about tongues. I thought that was about falling on the floor. I thought that was about prophecy and all these things. Listen, that can all be a part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But listen, friends, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, number one, it's not a one-time event that happens. Listen to me. Some of you believers, you got filled with the Holy Ghost years ago, had a prayer language years ago, but man, it's been dead and dry and nothing new happened in 20 years. Guess what? You need to be filled again. Amen? Amen? Come on, somebody. You that are saying, well, man, I've never experienced that before. That's never happened in my life. Listen, I want you to understand, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, it's not about whether or not you speak in tongues or fall on the floor or weird things happen or have prophetic words or visions. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to fill me with boldness to allow my ordinary to couple with God's extraordinary. That's what the baptism of the Holy, that's what being filled with the Spirit is. Being filled with the Spirit means, God, I am ordinary, but I am available for your extraordinary. Amen, somebody? Stand all over this place this morning. You really see this illustrated in Peter's life. Because this is the same Peter that before Acts 2, before that moment in the upper room, before this moment in front of these guys, this is the same Peter that just a few weeks before, when he was watching Jesus be whipped and beaten and flogged and tried and ultimately executed, this is the same Peter that when three times people asked him, hey, aren't you that guy? Hey, didn't we see you with him? Before he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he didn't have no boldness. What did he say? I don't know the man. Finally, he got mad. The Bible says he cussed a person out. I don't know the man. And he ran away, heard the rooster crow. Jesus said, before this day ends, you're going to deny me three times. That's the difference between the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and not. And then just a few verses later, Acts 2 happens. Filled with the Holy Spirit, bam. And then guess what? Peter stands up. 3,000 people get saved in one day. Peter walks by a lame man. Hey, you can have this too. Be filled, be healed. Acts chapter 4, the Bible says another 2,000 or 3,000 people are added to the numbers after the lame man gets healed. He's standing before the same dudes that, God, it's so powerful. The same people that just crucified Jesus. Peter, who just ran away a few weeks earlier, said, I don't know the man, looks at him and says, I do know the man, and I'm not going to shut my mouth about him. I don't care what you do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Listen, friend. If you've been on the fence about that, you've been like, well, I don't want to have anything we ain't having. Listen, forget all that. Who cares what happens? I don't care how weird it gets. I don't care if some goofy stuff. Listen, I want to see God be everything that he is in my life. Listen, the only thing that I don't want to settle for is less than what God has declared for my life. That's the only area I'm not going to settle on. Amen? And when I see in this word that God wants to fill his people, you and me, with boldness, and that he wants to do extraordinary things through the ordinary idiots that we are, that's why I'm going to say, man, let's keep going after that. Amen? Whatever that means, whatever is required, whatever that means is necessary, I want to have that in Jesus' name. How about you? I believe God wants to do extraordinary things through our ordinary lives. If we'll just be willing, number one, to say, God, I'm ordinary, but you can touch it with your extraordinary, and be bold enough to let that happen. Amen. Just close your eyes, my Lord's place this morning. Just as a way to focus, let the Holy Spirit, I believe God wants to speak to individual hearts right now. Listen, if you know, maybe you won't admit it, maybe it feels silly saying it, or maybe you know it's exactly you. I know it's me. Man, I know it's Justin Bradley for sure. If you're an ordinary idiot this morning, listen, it's okay. It's okay. And you can know an extraordinary Savior. His name is Jesus. And this extraordinary Savior that we're talking about, this extraordinary Savior that Peter and John refused to stop talking about, He's the same Savior. He's the same Jesus today that 2,000 years later is alive in heaven with arms open wide, and he is calling you to know him today right now in this place. And you don't have to be extraordinary. You don't have to be above average. You don't have to be something special. You can be the plain Jane, simple, ordinary person that I am and that many of us are in this room, and you can know this extraordinary Savior today. And you don't have to do anything except receive and accept that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, and that he did what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. And that's the first step, and that's all you have to do this morning. Right now, you can begin a walk, and you can begin to know this extraordinary Savior, Jesus. Well, I did this, and I did that, and I've messed this up, and I messed that up. Listen, friend, we all could go around the room and talk about all the stuff we've messed up, and all the stuff we've jacked up, and all the mistakes we've made, and I'm still here, and I know, listen, but we are forgiven. We are not perfect, but we are forgiven, and that forgiveness is available to you as well, if you'll just simply receive it. This Jesus that we're talking about walked this earth 2,000 years ago. He lived the life that, according to the law of the Old Testament and the law of Scripture, every one of us are commanded to live. A law of sinless perfection, holding to all of the laws and all the statutes and all the regulations of God. He lived that life. He lived the life that we are commanded to live, yet because of sin, none of us can live. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus did live that life in our place. Not only did he live that life that we are all commanded to live, but he then took the punishment that we all, according to that law, are commanded to receive. He took that upon his shoulders and took that in our place. So he lived the life that we should live, died the death that we deserve to die, and he did it all not because he's mad at you, not because he's upset at you, not because of any other reason except that he loves you right where you are right now. Whatever choices you made to leave you to this moment, whatever ordinary things you've got going on in your life, whatever crazy things you got going on in your life, whatever mistakes you've made, whatever that, man, he loves you. He didn't go to the cross, die, give himself up because he doesn't love you, friend. He loves you, and you got to believe that today. And if you want to believe that today and receive that today, this morning you can. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am going to ask you in just a moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, to raise your hand. If you're saying, yes, that's me, Pastor Justin, yes. Man, I want to receive that Jesus. Man, I'm an ordinary person who wants to know that extraordinary Savior this morning. I need to know him. Maybe you've received him before. Maybe you once lived for him, and you've, for whatever reason, life has happened, mistakes have been made, and you've ran away, and you're not serving him right now. Friend, today in this moment, you can decide to make a decision and say, yes, I'm going to come back. Yes, I'm going to come back. Yes, I'm going to come back, and he will receive you. He is ready to receive you with open arms. If you're in any one of those categories this morning and the Holy Spirit's working on you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. That's the only public thing I'm going to ask you to do today. Jesus did say, if you're embarrassed about me before men, I will be embarrassed about you before my Father. On a deeper level, I can't explain this to you, except this is what I've experienced, what I've seen. When I respond publicly to what God is doing privately, it seems to bring heaven and earth together and cement that moment that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, which is why we ask you to do that. So right now, man, I'm not going to count to three. I'm not going to count to 10. But if that's where you're saying, man, I want to know that extraordinary Savior. I'm an ordinary idiot who needs an extraordinary Savior this morning. I want to know this extraordinary Jesus this morning. Will you just right now raise your hand all over this place this morning? Amen. 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 I see several hands up. Amen. The Holy Spirit's about to move in a powerful way. Everyone in this room, pray out loud with me so you can hear it with your own ears. Everybody pray together. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now just like I am, a sinner who has committed sins. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now, forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person. Come live on the inside of my heart. I give you my all, my past, my present, my future belongs to you from this moment on, in Jesus' name. Thank you for saving me. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Make this moment real. Jesus, you declared in your word in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God would let us know in our hearts that we have become children of God. And I pray right now for a holy moment to take place in hearts. Every hand that was raised, every person that prayed that prayer with a heart full of faith, Holy Spirit, I ask you just begin to make that real plain to them even more than our very existence. Make that truth of our salvation more real than the very air that we breathe. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Just a moment, the worship team is going to play. These altars are going to be open. If you need prayer for any reason in your life, if you raised your hand and prayed that prayer, there are going to be some people up here that would love to pray with you. If you have any questions, talk to you and just help you out. If you did raise your hand, man, let me encourage you. We just started. We do this three times a year. We have what's called Growth Track, which is some next steps to help you grow in your walk with God. We just started our winter session today. There's three more sessions every Sunday. If you raise your hand and believe that today, I want to encourage you. Well, it's okay if you miss the first, so we can catch you up. Start coming. Get plugged in right away. There are these people here to pray with you no matter what you need prayer for this morning. And I'm going to pray over us, man. And I'm going to pray as long as I pray. This is what I've just been praying for me. This is what I've been praying for me. Because I'll just be honest. I don't know if you can tell this about me, but most of what I share, like 90% of what I share with you, is just usually stuff God's doing in me. And if I'm real honest and open with you guys this morning, man, which I hope I can be, I have been driven by a huge portion of my life by this need to be extraordinary, better than average, better than the next guy, more than whatever. That's just something God's breaking in me, man. I'm okay being ordinary if it means I can have God's extraordinary. Amen. So I'm going to pray over myself. You guys can join in with me if you want to, man. Let's be okay leaning into the ordinary so that we can have God's extraordinary. Amen, somebody. Heavenly Father, I pray in this place right now. Lord, whatever's part of that equation that we need, God, to see an extraordinary God show up in our ordinary, average, everyday lives. Lord, whether it's boldness, whether we need to spend more time with you, be focused more on you, God, or whether we just need to lean in and be okay with being average and ordinary God. Lord, whatever it takes, God, for you to be the extraordinary God that you are and want to be in our lives, Lord, help us to lean into that, Father, with everything that we have in Jesus' name. Lord, be extraordinary in our ordinary in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. These altars are open.